Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Fat Lot of Good podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne. I'm a comedian, I'm a writer, I'm half a scummy mummy. I'm a fat, happy person and I'm always beach ready. Today I am delighted to have the amazing Jack Rook. Hello, Jack.
Woo!
Hello, darling.
Hello.
No, hi.
I'm not. How are you? Are you
I'm right? Very good. I'm surprised you're not just going to launch into an Aussie accent because that's what you do around me.
Yeah, I know. I went, hello, but that's it. No, but I've not done, we've had 5 minutes of pre-chat and I've not done an Aussie accent once.
Yeah, actually, you've really held yourself back.
Do you know
back.
What? Because normally, this is the first time I've ever seen you in 7 years of knowing you not in a field.
Yes.
And by day three of, like, Camp Bestival, which we always do, I am mainly speaking like this, that people don't go, oh, it's that guy. It gives me a weird anonymity.
Yeah.
And also, I think when you're out of your comfort zone, you need to bring things that are in your comfort zone in. And for me, when I was a kid, like, I would just watch Summer Heights High on a loop all the time.
Amazing. Who was your fave in Summer Heights High?
Celine the dog. When Celine got run over, that was...
Did you cry and cry?
I really
so
cried.
Emotional.
It was such an emotional show. And the narrative arc, my God, I can't believe it didn't get a series two.
Anyway, apart from being a massive Summer Heights High fan and an excellent person, what else do you do, Jack Rook? Who are you?
I eat.
He's here because he's fat.
I eat a lot.
He loves his food out, Jack.
So I'm a comedy writer and I do a bit of performing, but right now I'm mainly sort of stuck on my bum right now writing. I'm writing a sitcom, which is exciting.
Woo! Can you tell us anything about that?
It's called Big Boy.
Is it about being fat?
Do you know what? No, actually it's not.
Okay.
However, there's elements of like comfort eating that are laced throughout.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so interesting because there's all these intersections, isn't there, between people, because there's like fatness and then gayness and then working classness. And by that point, I was like playing the oppression Olympics. I'm like, I'm actually quite happy. I don't really need it all brought up.
So you started off writing stand-up. Was that your sort of first big sort of foray in, or was it poetry?
It was sort of a bit of both. I used to write stand-up poems that were mainly about grief. Mm. That were, if anything, all my best poems are actually about food and comfort eating. Like, I really feel like I'm just... The theme of this week's podcast is comfort eating with me, because I love it. I have different sort of patterns of comfort eating, whereby sometimes it's purely about control. Mm-hmm. So I think people sometimes forget that. They just sort of presume if someone's comfort eating, it's because they're a greedy pig. And it's like, no, sometimes you're doing it at a time where your life spiraled out in some weird way and you're not sure how to cope. And actually, one thing you can have control of is what you're putting in your body and is how often you're putting it in and is what you're putting it in. Mm. And to the opposite side, sometimes what you have control of is not putting anything in there and not eating anything and not having an appetite, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And I think, weirdly for me, I've always been in the former group of those two.
I'm putting my hand up for this as well, yeah.
So waiting for like a trauma to happen to me and to me be like, I've actually lost my appetite.
What is that like?
I don't know. Although, do you know what? One time I had a really bad, I mean, it's only happened to me once, where I had a really bad period of anxiety. And weirdly, even though I'd sort of been doing like mental health campaigning for a number of years, I'd kind of always thought anxiety was like, you know, it was underneath depression and bipolar and all these sort of things. It was so bad. I was sort of like, had a real prejudgment. And then I got incredibly anxious and had to go to the doctors and it was really bad. And I was like, God, anxiety is the worst because once it's in, it's so hard to like rationalize yourself out. And that's the only time that mental health problems have made me lose weight.
Yeah.
But most of the time it is me at the fridge, comfy. And I think one of my earliest poems was all about lasagna. Do you remember that one?
No. Can you give us a couple of bars, couple of lines?
A couple of stanzas. such a bad Australian
accent.
Oh,
my God.
I'm so sorry.
It's going to be littered with Aussie accent.
It was about when somebody dies, it was about all of our neighbours and sort of local community coming around and dropping off lasagnas, and to the point where, like, after my dad had died, we had about 26 lasagnas flying around our kitchen. And we had them, like, in the freezer eventually. We were just, like, defrosting a lasagna every week.
You could make like, a lasagna Stonehenge.
Oh, my God, that's exactly... But basically, honestly, what we did, we made some sort of weird kind of figurative art out of it. But then it became so comical the more they came, we stopped telling people to not make us lasagnas. Because it was like a week where we were like, oh, no more lasagnas. And we were like, they're coming, let's just get them all.
Yeah.
And then we started rating and ranking them all. So it was like a bake-off for lasagnas.
Yeah.
And Tracy Brooks at number 17 was the best lasagna.
Oh.
And boy, does she know it, because we request one every spring.
Look, we could talk about all these things, but I do want to start kind of the podcast officially by asking you about your relationship with your body. Obviously, you love putting lasagna in it.
Yes.
And so how would you describe your relationship with your body, like, right now?
Right now, my relationship with my body is that 2 days ago, I joined Pure Gym.
Ooh.
And I did a weight loss induction.
Ah.
And the amount of pain that is surging through my legs right now, I can't walk down the stairs at Camden Town Tube.
Can you not?
I'm very, very sore. But what it did make me realise is how unfit I am. So it's a weird one because I'm definitely down for, you know, people being able to have whatever body size they want and being happy within their... That's like number one point. But then I also have got to a point where I've definitely put on a bit of weight in the last few months. It sort of started off where I was a bit like, oh, I haven't lost the Christmas weight. And then I was a bit like, oh, I haven't lost the depression weight. And then I was like, no, I've just not lost the greed weight. I was like, be honest, it wasn't Christmas and you weren't depressed. You're just greedy.
Yeah, exactly. And didn't move.
That was sort
it's
of
been
it.
Cold. Look, it's very warm in London at the moment. There's no fucking excuses. You've got to get out.
Now move. I'm like getting out and moving. And also, you know, I've just been stuck in a room writing. So I think it's always one of those things where if your career slightly changes, your routine slightly changes, you get thrown off kilter. And it is just so easy to, like, Deliveroo a kebab. I mean, I actually never have Deliveroo a kebab, but, like, Deliveroo something
anything.
Nicer.
Yeah.
Well, do you know, my biggest thing, once I found out I was in the 1.8-kilometre range of my closest Wagamama, that really was when the weight boomed.
Oh, my God.
On me.
Katsu curry. Hello.
All the way. Pour it down my throat.
Oh, duh. Delicious.
But, yeah, so my relationship right now with my body is very much one of, like, I don't hate it, but I definitely want to lose weight.
Mm.
And I feel like there's almost in this kind of, sometimes I feel like in the fat positivity movement, I feel scared to say I want to lose weight because I feel like I'm being a traitor.
Yeah.
But it definitely is one of those things where it's much more, it's probably the first time I've ever wanted to lose weight in my life, more for health reasons than aesthetic ones.
Mm.
Like, I'm just a bit like, I'm quite unfit. And it makes me a little bit miserable when I can't physically do stuff. And I've got a bit of a dodgy spine back anyway. But I don't want to lose loads of weight. I don't think I'd be... God knows what I was going to say God forbid, which is quite mean about slim people.
Yeah, yeah.
God
oh, God,
forbid
I don't want to be
slim.
Like them. No.
No, but, like, I don't know what it would be like because I've been big all my life since I was a kid as well. There was one summer where I lost loads of weight. Me and my mum did Weight Watchers, lost a shed ton of weight. And then, honestly, Dad died, piled it back on.
Yeah.
It was one of those. It was just like a...
That's it.
And then I...
Well, you did have 27 lasagnas. I mean, who can blame you? And, okay, so going back, so you've said you've always been a big lad.
Yeah.
And so how was your relationship from the get-go? Did you embrace it, or was that a hard thing for you to experience when you were growing up?
It's a weird one. If you're like, I feel like when you're a fat kid, you either, when you're a fat boy, you kind of have to make a bit of a decision, which is you can retain that, like, I'm a boy, so I just being like a real little terror.
Yeah.
And if you're like big and like you become like a bruiser. Mm. So you either become a bruiser or you become like, oh, he's got lots of friends who are girls.
That was the path that you chose.
Yeah,
you
sort
chose.
Of. And I think, and it's a really interesting one because when I was a kid, I think being bigger meant that I was always quite a non-threat. So the only way that you can get clout is to become the clown.
Mm.
So you almost sort of become funny so that you have a bit of kudos in the playground, if that
yeah.
makes sense.
Yeah.
So I sort of like, as I'm writing this book, I think like the first line is something like, the only reason I got a book deal is because I'm fat. And it is like, I think because when you're a bigger person, for some reason, even though I'm capable of atrocity, people presume you're this like incredibly funny, friendly sort of like object of like
yeah.
real sweetness and real like...
Like you, a marshmallow.
Exactly. But you know me, Helen. Yeah. I'm a bitch.
Ooh, he's got a sting in his tail, listener. He's got a sting.
But like, it's an interesting one because I think when I was a kid, that's when it sort of developed. And I was like, oh, if I'm funny, then I can sort of reinforce like people's opinions of me. I can kind of get that control back because I'm obviously typically not the boy who's like wanting to play every single sport in the world and get in the mud type thing.
Yeah, because I know I grew up as a fatty and I just knew that I could make everyone laugh. Like I could be the clown and I could tell the fart jokes and I revealed far too much about my personal life to people because I wanted that attention and people felt kind of safe. You can laugh at the fat girl. No one wants to fuck you.
Yeah.
And you know, a spotty and all those sort of things.
Well, it's a sort of dangerous line you walk, isn't it? Because you self-deprecation is always very charming, but it isn't charming when the joke turns and you're laughing at yourself with other people. That's
yeah.
like when you suddenly, because you'll carry on laughing at yourself until the point where you're like, oh my God, I don't like myself very much.
No.
And that's really not a good place to be.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, there's something that I really, really liked. I know this is quite a controversial show, but I loved it, which was Hannah Gadsby's show, Nanette.
Oh, I adore
it. Was so great.
Yeah.
And she sort of spoke about this in a very sort of different frame, but she sort of spoke about it in sexuality, being like, I'm making jokes about looking like a lesbian, or I'm making jokes that are like very sort of on the nose, like queer people for beginners, like
yeah.
for dummies, essentially. And you're laughing at them, and I'm laughing at them, but the butt of the joke is me.
Mm.
And her sort of being like, actually, I've been through stuff that I don't want to laugh at me anymore. And I really quite resounded with a lot of those sentiments. Not in a way where I'm all of a sudden going to take myself super seriously and like not be able to take a joke. But, you know, I really thought there's something about knowing your limits, knowing that there's bits of yourself that actually you're like, no, I'm as remarkable than any slim person, but yeah, I can make an easier joke about myself, but I'm going to totally use that to my advantage
yeah.
at times, but then know that there's like a limit and you have to, because also I don't want to be making jokes where the butt of them is other people's life experiences who share that with me, if that makes
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, that's right. It's not about sort of putting them down for the amusement of other people.
Or, yeah.
Yeah, and to make them feel better. It's like, oh, don't worry, I'm the fattest person here and I'm the most fucked up. You
yeah.
know, everyone laugh at me.
Love at
You'll
me.
All be fine.
Yeah. The only thing that I do always find still completely hilarious is that I've just always, since about the age of 4, had kind of like mild breasts is what I would say.
You've got
a
moob.
Sort of always had moobs now. To the point where I think if I lost weight, I'd have like waterboard abs but still tits. Just be like,
I'm the just, best of both
the
worlds.
Best of both worlds, exactly. I'd be like Davina McCall on a DVD.
Oh.
But yeah.
Like
I mean,
her body double. Finally, she had curly hair.
So, yeah, so I think there's always bits of my body that I'm like, this is funny because it just, I can't wear a T-shirt without there just always being some sort of sweat line underneath the breasts.
You've got your ladies here. Out front,
yeah.
Yes.
Puppies out front, yeah.
And, I mean, you are openly gay. Is there, do you find it?
No, what? Stop the podcast.
Oh, God, I've gone all Piers Morgan. You gay. Sorry. Sorry, Jack's mum. Never meant to be this way.
Could you imagine? If my mum doesn't know what a podcast is. I think
no,
she thinks
she'd
it's like
fine.
A version of a lift. She thinks a podcast is what goes around the London Eye. That's literally it.
That's okay, that's fine. Is it, I mean, being your size and shape and who you are, is it harder in the gay world, in dating and all those sort of things?
Oh, 150 billion, trillion, zillion percent.
Okay.
Because, you know, if you look in mainstream culture, which mm-hmm. is where we all make our assumptions of people from a very young age, I can't name one fat gay character who isn't a complete joke.
Yeah.
Who isn't like the source of all ridicule or the stereotypical sort of sassy best friend. Like, we don't have any visibility where we're just like winners or like normal people getting on with our life. Like, we are, you know, there's a bit in Gavin and Stacey. Gavin and Stacey is my favourite show. I used to love it as a kid. But there's a bit where Stacey and Gavin are getting married and Stacey's gay brother arrives at the wedding. And he's sort of walking into the church and Smithy and Gavin are on the door. And he sort of walks in and Gavin goes, if I was gay, I'd want to be like him.
Mm.
And then Smithy's obviously a big fat character, goes, yeah, if I was gay, I'd want to be like him too. And then Gavin goes, well, you can't be gay. And Smithy's like, why not? And he's like, because you're fat and fat gays are outcasts.
Oh,
and then
wow.
goes to, and then proceeds to list, Gavin then proceeds to list like a whole list of names of gay, slim, attractive men. And then names one fat gay man. And everyone goes, oh, yeah, he is an outcast. And that's the punchline.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting because I watched that show about like 9 billion times going through puberty and growing up.
Mm.
So I've watched Gavin say fat gays are outcasts and that be the punchline to the joke.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I definitely then feel like as a fat gay person, that's completely true because, I mean, the gay world mainstreamly is defined by like weirdly... these sentiments that come from all sorts of the areas. They come from straight women as much as they come from straight men of being like...
I apologise on behalf of my people.
They come from your sort.
Right.
Being like, oh, why are all the fittest guys gay? Oh, like the amount of straight women I've heard who've said that. I'm just always a bit like...
While you're eating your lasagna. Yeah, great.
Tell me more about those guys. Shut up and make me a lasagna, Tracy. Shut up. And I think it's a real shame. And I think it will be something that in my, like, career, if I ever properly make it as a comedy writer, that I'm going to try and, like, write a fat gay role who's and someone who's just a winner, someone who actually is, like, smashing life and has, like, a boyfriend and is functioning really well.
Yeah.
Like, because
and
I've
And it's not
seen...
the court jester.
No.
Mm.
So yes, yeah, so it is difficult. And, like, I definitely think that the whole sort of club culture... is geared up towards like slim bodies and from literal like, I mean, it's so like, I can't even explain the sort of intricacies and the details of it, but it isn't set up for someone like me to walk into like a gay club and feel like $1 million. Like it's not there. And even the sort of like, I went to this night a couple months ago and bear in mind, it was a gay night, so there are quite a few actors there. Believe it or not, there's a correlation between actors and gay people.
Shut up. I will not hear this.
I will not hear this lie.
They're all happily married.
But there was this one actor there who was considering for this role, who's this sort of like gay guy.
Mm.
I'm going to be very careful not to say his name. And we were sort
of... You can
of
write it on a piece of paper for me later.
Oh, I will do.
Good.
We're in a group of friends. We were sort of stood chatting. And he just had his back to my face the whole time. And other friends around me were a bit like... And I've never met this person before.
Mm.
And the other people around me were sort of trying to like... kind of like get me in the conversation. Because I was the only fat person in the room. With this person literally pushing me further and further into the wall. Sort of like
wow.
This act going, who am I going to pull? Who's like an industry... Who's And I was literally like, this is mad. And then when I got introduced and he clocked that I've sort of had him on a list for a part.
Wow.
His behaviour totally changed. And I was like, well, you're not getting the role, you little...
No, you little shit.
You literally stood. It got to a point where it was offensive and then funny and then went back to be offensive again. So I was like, wow, you really aren't seeing me.
Yeah.
Because you're in a space where you're looking essentially to look at like who you want to hook up with or who you want to like chat up or whatever.
Yeah.
And I am completely invisible in this space. Mm. Whereas if we were having a meeting at a production company, you'd be fucking rimming my arsehole.
Oh, all the holes.
All the holes. Every single hole. And that's when I was like, yeah, I think if anything, what needs to happen is that gay men who do fit that mainstream stereotype need to just be a bit more educated that like that stereotype isn't the only gay person that exists.
Mm.
In the same way that like the really wonderfully femme camp gay guy isn't the only type of gay guy that exists.
What?
I know. There's
it's
actually
not just your house is aligned with glitter.
There are gay men that like digging holes and reading maps. I said it. They wear beige. And they are almost boring. There are boring gay men out there.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I kind of would just want to bring it back to your nan.
Oh, my gorgeous nan.
Yeah. And so in your show, Good Grief, you obviously interview her.
Yeah,
but you also talk about how she talks about your body and how...
Yeah.
Can you tell the carrot story?
Actually, the carrot story, was it
an apple? Was it an apple or a carrot in the box?
I can't remember now.
Wasn't she going to give you a cake and then inside it was something else?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. All right, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm just reminding Jack about how funny
about
he
my
is.
My actual autobiography. Thank you. Yeah, she used to, but she did it with loads of different things. She would lull me into a false sense of security, thinking that she'd made like an apple cake. My nan made the most incredible. She was a dinner lady for like yonks.
Oh, they're the best kind of
one
people.
One of those people who was like dinner lady during the war, so knows how to make something nice out of nothing.
Yeah.
And she did it all the time. It'd just be like, she'd be like, oh, I've made a cake, it's in the fridge, and then underneath it would be like just some cut up carrot batons. And she'd just be like, lose some weight. Like really quite like brutal.
Oh my God. And how old were you then?
From the age of about 2 to
nice.
To 15, 16. Oh yeah, dad died and she was like, here's the cake.
It's fine.
Like, no, I think it's, do you know what though? It's a really interesting one because my nan, I'm really reluctant to call that body shaming.
Yeah.
Because it if anything, it's that sort of like, it's quite, because in the same regard, she would give me those carrot sticks, but then also feed me like 12 Werther's Originals, like they were fucking ketamine pills. Like she'd just be like, another one and another. Like she never stopped me from going to her biscuit tin.
Yeah.
She never like, so I think it was like her really, if anything, trying to put some variation in my diet.
Yeah.
As opposed
or
to
from
being
love
like,
rather than shame. Yeah.
But she's just quite a kind of brutally honest person. So she, you know, and the truth is, when I was a kid, there were real times where I probably really could have benefited from losing some weight.
Mm.
If anything, like, my brother was probably the only person that used to fat shame me a lot.
Mm.
But that's because he's an ex-fat. The worst kind of people in life, ex-fatties turned really slim people. Ooh. Who won't stop bagging going on about it.
Oh my God. It's like ex-smokers or ex-meat eaters. should we wrap up by doing some quick fire questions? Is that all right?
Yeah. So for this, I'm going to put my sunglasses on and pretend that we're on Radio 1.
Okay.
BBC Radio 1.
All right, I'm going to be Nick Grimshaw now. He's a lovely gay, isn't he?
Yeah, he is a sweet gay. Yeah. Do you reckon he's a fat shamer?
Ooh.
Couldn't say.
No. Not on air, we cannot.
No, I'm sure he's not.
It's fine. Yeah, he's friends with all types. Yeah. Just not fat people.
I think him and Beth Ditto are friends.
Oh, well, see, then
she's
fine.
She's one of my favourite fat people, exactly.
Oh, yes.
If you're a Beth Ditto ally, then you're a good person. Did I just say ally in Australian? Ally.
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 I love Beth Ditto.
Ally McBeal, that's me.
What a contemporary reference.
I'm straight L.I. McBeal. No, right, quick fire questions. Okay, sorry, go. I'm such an awful podcast.
No, you're
guest.
Delicious, thank you. What makes you feel sexy, Jack Rook?
Ooh, what makes you feel sexy? A really nice, thick corduroy shirt.
Ooh, very nice.
Cover ups the boobs quite nicely.
A nice, heavy fabric.
Yeah, I kind of like to look like your dad did in the 70s.
Mm.
That makes me feel sexy. 70s dad.
70s dad. I like it. What's your most favourite thing to put in your body? I mean, you can go anywhere with this, Jack.
I'm going to have to say...
Yes?
A biscuit, a chocolate digestive that has been perfectly dunked into a cup of tea for the right amount of time.
Mm.
And that does feel like the most middle class thing I've ever said.
What's your most embarrassing body moment?
Oh, my hair all the time, because I've got big, thick, curly hair.
It's a bit Sideshow Bob.
It's a bit Sideshow Bob / Jonathan Creek.
Mm-hmm.
And one time I was dating a man who was a member of the septum piercing community.
Oh.
Which is when you've got like little ring inside your nostril.
Like a sexy bull.
Like a sexy bull. But not such a sexy bull when your curly hair gets caught on that during sex. And then you sort of gradually go down to visit their genitalia,
yeah,
and you slowly mutilate their nostrils and they nosebleed all over your face because you've ripped their piercing out with your hair.
Oh, that didn't end well.
No, it was quite grim. Although me and that guy matched on Tinder last year.
Yes.
And he is no longer a member of the septum piercing community. So I do think I made a change in someone's life. I made a positive change.
That's right. He's looking at the man in the mirror. What's the best thing people have said about you or in your body? Or what do you like people to say about you? That's probably another question.
I don't know. I don't think anyone's ever said anything, like, overly. I mean, apart from, like, the really obvious. I mean, I've got great legs.
You do have great
I've
legs.
I've got really... But I've got
gorgeous
really
pins.
In, I've got really... my legs don't match the top half.
Mm.
I have... it's often said I have the legs of a very sort of slim, kind of, like... tall woman.
Yes.
Because they're completely hairless and they're quite defined.
Mm.
I've got drag queen's legs.
Fabulous.
I've got drag queen's legs with a builder's belly. That's essentially it.
It's like one of those flip books when you flip it over and they...
Yes.
High heels.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be my book cover.
Oh, yes, you should.
Perfect.
You're very welcome, Jack. Now, I've got a segment in this podcast, which I really love. It's called Fat Facts.
Great.
Fat Facts. I've got two fat facts about testicles for you.
I thought they were going to be about me.
It's so fat.
Thanks, Maggie. Jack's so fat, he struggled to get in the lift today.
Well, that ruined that punchline.
testicle fat facts. Wow.
Testicle fat facts. I mean, we're gonna really change the world with this podcast. Do you know the word avocado derives from the Aztec word for testicle?
Oh, my God.
I mean, these things are changing
if
your life.
If only the Dulwich mums knew.
Exactly right.
Are you a Dulwich mum?
Well, I live... Close? I can see Dulwich from my house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, do you know
we're
what?
We're in the cheaper seats, though. Yeah. In the nosebleeds.
The cheap seats of South London.
Yeah. We drive through it anyway. And do you know, this actually blew my mind. Balls can grow up to twice their size during sex. Did you know that, Jack Brooke?
Do you know what? I think that could be true, actually. Mm. I mean, I sometimes think I prefer the ball to the peen.
Do you?
No, I don't know why I said that.
Does anyone look, do you know what I'm going to...
Do you know what, though?
His balls were so hot.
Penis size, don't care.
Okay.
Generally don't care. But testicle size, if they're too small, the testicle size is the last taboo.
Yeah.
Too big, my lord, that's going to hurt.
Yeah.
Me. Mm. Too small... Well, you know, is it going up inside?
Yeah.
Because they do go up inside.
They do. I hear that. Yeah. Yes. I always find it weird when one's up, one down. I think that looks a bit funny.
But that's a healthy pair of bollocks.
Is it?
Yes. If one's further up and the other one's further down, that's actually a very good thing. And that actually somehow like means that you're much less likely to contract testicular cancer.
Good news.
Yeah.
That person whose balls I'm talking about.
Nick Grimshaw, you're fine.
Oh, my God. Nick Grimshaw's balls. That's your Edinburgh show sorted. Jesus Christ. All right. And then finally, we must go. Fatspiration. What's your fatspiration? So this is, what mantra do you live by? Or what words get you through?
Fatspiration.
If Jack Rock was a meme...
When I was a kid, my hero was Her Royal Highness Dawn of French.
Mm-hmm.
And the Vicar of Dibley was my favourite thing. My family actually took me to Dibley, the actual village where they film it for my 10th birthday.
Oh.
It's a little village called Turville in Oxfordshire. I'd recommend anyone go. And I think my favourite thing that I took out of the Vicar of Dibley was that, like, you sort of saw her be funny and be sexy and also be incredibly successful. So I think my mantra in life, my fatspiration would be Geraldine Granger.
Yeah.
And it would be having a cupboard full of crunchies at any given moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just when she dives into that chocolate fountain.
Oh,
she
just, so good.
There was no apologies in that show.
No.
Because I've probably watched it a billion times. And my dad's a vicar. So, you know, it was basically like a documentary. Like, we had all those nutters, like all the nutters. And the old lady who made the most disgusting
food. Yeah.
Yeah. The savoury trifle.
I do think, in a way, the other half of Scummy Mummies is your Alice Tinker.
Yeah. Oh, Alice, bless her heart. The Hall of Fat Fame. Oh, yes, yes. So would your favourite person in the world, would that be Dawn French, or have you got
my favourite person in the world?
Yeah.
It's my mum.
Yeah.
Yeah, 110%.
Aww.
I honestly think my mum's maybe the love of my life,
which
would only be said by someone like me.
Yeah.
But I really do. I'm a bit like, I probably might, you know, I might meet someone, I might have a partner, but I'm like, there will be no other person in the world that I love as much as her. Not her as my, like, caregiver mum, but her as a person, her as a human being. I'm like, you're astonishing and absolutely frustrating and annoying and mad.
Wonderful.
And filthy.
Yeah.
She has all the qualities in a human being that if I met her and she wasn't my mum, I'd be like, you're a mate type thing.
Oh.
So, yeah, my mum.
Thank
and my mum is a real scumbag mum as well.
She's never going to listen to this. She doesn't know what a podcast is. Jack Rook, you've been a fucking delight.
Oh, thanks so much.
Where can people find you, Jack Rook?
Camden.
Walking very slowly down some steps in Camden.
Guys, you can find me in NW1 at any given moment. I'll probably be in a cafe writing my scripts. No, you can find me at Jack Rook on Twitter or at Jack Dave Rook on Instagram, because my dad gave me the surname, the middle name, Dave.
Dave! Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, love your dad. And
then my book,
yes,
is called Cheer the Fuck Up.
Excellent.
Is now coming out on Valentine's Day next year, 2020.
Perfect.
And we'll have lots of material about growing up fat and gay.
Wonderful. We're all going to buy it.
Thank you, darling.
You've been listening to the Fat Lot of Good podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne, and the producer was Maddie Hickish, and the music you were listening to is by John Thorne. You've been a lovely audience. Bye!
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.